you welcome center, and it gives you different descriptions of a gift wrapper, walking kids around as they're shopping, as well as greeting people, counting money, and then also gift wrappers. So if your spiritual gift is wrapping Christmas presents, you need to sign up to be a gift wrapper. That is not one of my spiritual gifts, I can tell you that. If you have any questions, you can see either Jamie Weiser or Lori Winters, and they'll be glad to answer any questions you have. We're going to speak from 12 to 3 next week, right after the service. There'll be a little lunch provided for those helping. But it's open to everybody from the community. And if you know of an individual that would like to help, they don't have to be a member of this church to help, you can contact Lori or Jamie and just say, hey, I know somebody that would like to help you with it, and they would love to plug them in for you. Again, just a reminder that I'm the Princeton Welcome Center. I'm serving birthdays and anniversaries for this month, so please save them, and as you are able to, send a card, email, and just wish everybody a happy birthday for this month, as well as happy anniversaries this month as well. And again, we're glad that you are with us together. As we continue in Advent, preparing our hearts for worship this morning, preparing our journey together, once again, we're going to draw our attention to the Advent reading. A reminder of
Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care.
Joy, 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 joy
righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make the music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and blasts and ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. What a wonderful song of praise that is. And as we think about that song and we say it's Christmas time, let's sing joy to the world. And as we sing that carol, joy to the world, every Christmas season, this song is one that just radiates the praise of who Jesus is, his faithfulness to us, that the Lord has come. And that is the reality of things this morning. That is why we are here, because of joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now, when we look at Scripture, Scripture tells us a little bit about what joy actually is. Talking here about joy in Psalm 98, and that joy that we can have reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness. We have to be careful though. There is a difference between joy and happiness. See, joy is a feeling of contentment. Joy is not an emotion that God has called to go. Joy is a state of being. Or happiness is that emotional characteristic of how we feel based upon joy. So when we talk about joy and happiness, we have to realize that happiness is that emotion that we feel when we have that contentment in our lives. That happiness can come and go, but joy will always remain because it's a state of mind, a state of being. Joy seems to come to us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the working of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I now give you the Comforter, my Holy Spirit, that I will continue to be with you. Joy comes through the Holy Spirit. When we look at Galatians chapter 5, the famous passage about the fruit of the Spirit, you will find that joy is outlined in the fruit of the Spirit of what the Holy Spirit gives you and I as we continue to allow Him to mold us and to shape us in our lives. That joy is something that's meant to be here with us each day. The Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us through difficult situations that we might face in life. And that is one of the key indicators to a follower of Christ is having joy. Even in the midst of difficult situations. What does that look like for each and every one of us? Psalm 98:3 again, has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. That is what joy is. Joy is remembering God's love for us. Joy is remembering God's faithfulness to us all the way to the ends of the earth, in which he has redeemed us through that Christ child that will be born. That is what joy is about. We look at our lives and we can begin to think about sometimes we have some really good memories. We're like, oh, that might bring some happiness or joy to my life. And then we look back and we think about times in our life that aren't so pleasant, that weren't so joyful as we would say. But that's the point that we're trying to make today, is the fact that joy is constant, even in those times we look back and we say, I didn't feel joyful. That God's presence was with us in the midst of those times, and therefore we can have joy. Now, having joy doesn't mean that we're jumping up and down and we're excited and we're just happy and we're just having a exuberant time. But joy means that we'll be okay no matter what life gives us. That will be okay because we know that God is faithful to us and is good to us. If you go back to Exodus 15, with the Israelites, we look at how sometimes joy can be robbed from us because of what happens. In Exodus 15, find that Moses had delivered the Israelites from Egypt. There was much rejoicing. They had crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army had been drowned. And then all of a sudden, as they're wandering in Egypt, shortly after they had been spared and free, the complaints start pouring in from the Israelites. Oh, Moses, it's too hot. Oh, Moses, what fruit are we eating? Oh, Moses, we were better off in Egypt. Oh, Moses, at least we had family who could hear us. Oh, Moses, this. Oh, Moses, that. The joy that they had experienced, the contentment of looking at what God has done for them, had been replaced with being overwhelmed by the circumstances they were going through. That joy was gone because they lost focus. Because they were focused on the situations that were at hand there. They had forgot of God took care of them and would take care of them in the desert. So many times in life we can be like Israelites, feel like we're in the wilderness wandering. And so many times we can allow that stress in our life from changes that occur to allow us to forget about God's faithfulness to us, to allow us to forget about God's goodness to us, to allow us to forget that God is with us in the midst of those stressful times in our life. We're overwhelmed. Joy is being thankful that God has already done things for us, will continue to do things for us, and that one day we'll be with them again. That joy doesn't fail as God continues to provide and carry us on and carry us through those difficult times. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Picking up now again with the Israelites. Now the people complained about the hardships and the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the place was called Meribah, because fire from the Lord had burned out among them. The rabble within began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if we only had meat to eat. Remember, we ate Egypt, the fish, and the cross, the cucumbers, and melons, the beasts, and the onions, and the garlic. What we find here is that even in the midst of complaining, that God was what? He gives them manna from heaven and provides for them. And then he also gives quail also to provide for them. And even in the midst of them losing focus on the joy of what God had done for them, God still provided to them and took care of them, even when they had lost their joy, even when they were focused on life situation. Now I'm sure we're probably sitting here this morning going, well, Pastor, how can the Israelites complain about anything? They were in captivity for hundreds of years and they're free, and they are just walking through the desert being ungrateful for all God has just done for them by freeing them from slavery? I mean, how could they not trust God after all they had seen God do for them? But I don't know about you, in our lives it's really easy to do that also, that we can fail to trust God even in the midst of everything he's done for us. I told you before that when I get up here to preach to you, that I don't get up and preach to you and say, okay, I have my life together, so I'm going to tell you how to get your life together. No, I don't. When I preach before you, I preach before you the struggles that I face in my own life as I prepare my sermons, because they apply to me also. The struggle of being human, the struggle of sin, the struggle of just being an individual who is trying to be the best Christian that I can be. Now, I always say that God has a pretty good sense of humor when it comes to sermons with me. That either after I preach a sermon, something will happen later on that afternoon or that week, over my sermon topics, and we planned out the Advent season, and we were talking about which direction we're going in the sermons, and so we could begin to plan the services together. We knew that this week was going to be preached on joy to the world. But as I was going through this week, I really didn't want to preach on joy. I said, God, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel joyful this week. I'm not going to preach on this, God. I'm going to change the sermon so Mel and I can talk back and forth and hear kind of saying what we do. And I wasn't feeling very joyful. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling stressed. Stressed from getting ready and having a wedding for one of our sons a few weeks ago and Thanksgiving and preparing for the move to the parsonage and trying to figure different components out to that whole thing. And then Melody got sick last week as we were trying to finish the apartment and clean the apartment out and trying to do some things from there. And it was just like, okay, God, what's next? You know, every time we think we have a plan of action, every time we think it has to be together, something changes, and we go, what's next? And I've learned, we've never asked God that question, what is next? Because God will say, okay, you asked for it. Well, sure enough, we found out that every time we asked what was next, something would happen. There was a problem with the U-Haul, there was a problem with this, whatever it was. And we were just at the point of just, we are at our wits' end. We're tired, we're worn out, we're weary, trying to do life, the family situation, making sure that everything in the church is lined up ready to go. We just felt like we had nothing left to give. We weren't really very joyful. I said, God, how can I preach a sermon on joy to the world and being joyful if right now I'm not feeling very joyful? Well, last night, as I was continuing to wrestle with today's sermon and spent last night finishing it up, Bill and I went into the parsonage, walked around and looked, and we were in the kitchen, and she just took my hands, and she drew me close to her, and she looked me right in the eyes, the biggest smile on her face, and she said, I'm ready to make our home together. At that moment, I knew that everything I was facing, I was focused on the stress, I was focused on the circumstances, that God still was faithful, and that even in the midst of everything that occurred through this process, that God was still good. And it was looking in her eyes yesterday and seeing the fact that you're right, God is good. And we have a reason to be joyful, a reason to be thankful, because of a new beginning that is going to occur in our life by being here and being together and starting a life here together. And all that other stuff we went through didn't matter what lies ahead, the joy that comes. It wasn't easy getting to that point, it was a struggle, but yet that's what Satan does, right? He's a joy stealer. Satan wants to steal our joy. And even when we think that we can get through the next thing, then all of a sudden Satan begins to throw other things at us. We begin to say, we can't do it anymore. I can't handle it. I'm so stretched out. I feel like I'm working. And Satan goes, oh, just wait. I've got some more stuff coming your way. And you're not going to remember what this whole joy thing is about at Christmas time. You won't want to save joy to the Lord. You won't even want to sing about Christmas time because all the things I got lined up coming at you that you're just going to be so consumed with your life circumstances and what's going on that you won't even have time to deal with what your need is. That's what happens, folks. It happened to me that I allowed the joy and contentment of my life to be robbed with everything coming at me that would be thrown at me instead of saying, wait a second. Joy, being content, remembering God is with us in this situation, that God will get us through the situation, and that when we get through it, that the situation will be resolved at some point in time, and it'll be better than what we can ever imagine. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, He has come, He walks with us, He goes with us, He experiences our pain, our suffering, our sadness, our stress. But yet, so many times, take a step back and forget. it for joyous. I became like that Israel, the Israelites, honoring my own vision.
God, what about this? God, what about that? God,
wait a second. I'm still going to be faithful to you, although you've lost your focus. I'm still going to be faithful to you, although you have all this going on in your life. I will still provide for you, and I will still care for you.
And by the way, Pastor Tom, don't forget all the things I've already done for you,
and the things I'm going to continue to do for you, and draw upon that joy of knowing that I am with you, and I will provide for you, and I will hold you. It's easy to forget all that God has done for us. Get off the frustration, the stress of life, get overwhelmed. In the midst of it all, getting to enjoy His. The Israelites, they went back to that dark past in Egypt, saying it was better if they were there. God reminded them, no, it's not. It's better that you're here right now. And I will continue to take you and lead you through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Psalm 98:3, He has remembered His promise to love and be faithful to His people. That is what joy is. Remembering the fact that God never, ever once forgets His promises. And that God has remembered His promise to love us and be faithful to us even in the midst of difficult times. The Israelites forgot that. I forgot that. I'm sure we all forget that in our lives. That God is the one who gives the good gifts in which joy comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that joy, we are made right with God. We have that righteousness from God. We have joy because of God's promises, but because we're also made right with God. As Romans 1:17 said, for in the gospel and the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. Where does joy come from? It comes by faith. It comes from realizing that we are made right with God. And that we are the sons and daughters of God. This verse of Romans 1:17 helps us to remember that we need to put our faith in the work of who Jesus is, the person of Jesus Christ. Knowing that I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect. And that is where true joy comes from. That God meets us where we're at. God never once says, well, you know what? I'm not going to give you joy. I'm not going to give you salvation until you meet my demands. No, God meets us where we're at. And never once does He say we have to be perfect. He just says we have to be obedient. And when we're obedient, that is where joy comes. That God handles our frustration and pain. All the seasons of life that we're going to go through, the stress, the grief, the pain, the suffering, that Jesus can give us joy through it all because of what He's done for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're experiencing a stressful situation and you don't want to hide that way. Maybe you're sitting there and you're struggling with the loss of a loved one that occurred just recently, or a career that you were hoping to get that you didn't get. Maybe you're struggling trying to make ends meet at retirement because of the way the economy is going. You're not sure how you're going to get through things, how you might pay your bills because inflation is through the roof. But you know what? Joy still exists in those situations, no matter what it might be. In the middle of everything, God tells us, I am here with you. Go with you. And therefore, we have joy. We have joy because we've been rescued. We have joy because that little baby Jesus was born on that Christmas morn, and that little baby Jesus grew in wisdom and stature until He was sacrificed on the cross for you and for me, so that our sins can be forgiven and rose from the dead, so that you and I can have hope. That hope that we cling to today, the joy that we can cling to today that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of rescue. God's rescue plan.
John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. He didn't say for God so loved a few people. For God so loved just this certain group of people. No, for God so loved the world. That translates the cosmos, the entire universe. That God loved the entire universe, everything in the entire universe. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And through believing in him, having eternal life, we're able to cling to that joy, that sacred contentment in the midst of difficult situations. Be able to have a communion with God in all over the world. This morning, we're going to come to the communion table. We're going to be able to come and have communion with God because of what Jesus has done for us. We're able to come and be redeemed and because of things. When we look at the aspect of our pain and suffering, Romans 5 tells us, for I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed in us. This is a promise of all promises in which Christ has reversed the sin and saying here in Romans that he's given us a better identity, a better way of life, a way to live, a way to fight hope. And as Christmas approaches, it's only 2 weeks away, that we are able to celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, through his Son and joy to the world. The Lord has come because of what Christ has done for us. No matter what you might be facing or going through, no matter how stressed you might be or frustrated, no matter how bleak things might look, right now, there is one truth that remains, that God is faithful, and God will always be faithful, and that God will walk beside you and I through every circumstance and allow the power of the Holy Spirit. If we let Him, folks, we have to let the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to have that joy, that state of commitment, as we walk by faith and not by sight. And therefore, when we sing that wonderful Christmas carol, joy to the world, it's not just the words we are singing, it's a proclamation of who we are. A proclamation of yes. That in everything that's occurring in this world, going on, still sin and option. God's love is powerful enough to overcome all the hate in this world. God's love is powerful enough to reunite beings. God's love is powerful enough to overcome the hate of this world throws at us. And that is why we sing joy to the world. An everlasting joy is found in him. We come and we celebrate that joy, not because of anything we've done, because we fall short. I fall short every day. I make mistakes every day. I let God down every day. But God still is faithful to me and faithful to you because of who he is and what he's done for us. And so this morning, as we come to God's table together, a table that is open to everyone, no matter if you're religious church or not, let us come and let us be reminded of the fact that that little baby that was born knowing he was going to pay the price of the cross for everything, that his body would be broken, beaten, that he would hear a crunch to the bones on that cross, knowing what it would lead to resurrection, new life. That as he was pierced and whipped and the crown of thorns on his head, that blood that was shed for you and for me would cover our sins so that we can be restored and have that relationship with God and experience joy in life. So this morning, as we come to God's table, we ask that God's Spirit would be poured out upon these elements of bread and juice. And that we would
see the promises you fulfilled.
Take